Today on Season 4, Episode 7 of the Unknown Packers Podcast, Bryce and I wrap up our draft talk and move on to the latest flavor of the month, Aaron Rodgers. We couldn't stay quiet on the topic forever, so we give you a small look into our current thoughts on the matter. After a year without, rookie minicamp was back in full swing this past weekend. 9 draft picks, 7 undrafted players, and 9 futures contract players all took the field. What are our takeaways in the latest rookie class? What is our favorite part of minicamp? Who is going to be the rookie standout this season? Listen in and find out. And now it's time for minicamp on tap.
This is Green Bay.
Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers podcast.
Touchdown! Dagger! Al Harris, 56 yards to a game-winning touchdown! Green Bay Packers! Go, Pat, go!
Running isn't everything, but it's the only thing.
Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, yeah. Green and yellow.
Unknown Packers podcast.
Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow. Green
and let me tell you this, Green Bay is a great town.
Green Bay, Green Bay, Green Bay.
And welcome to the Unknown Packers Podcast. For you heard it, minicamp on tap. The Packers rookies concluded their minicamp this past weekend, May 14th and May 15th. I'm your co-host, Bryce Christensen, for this episode, and I have Niebels, my other brother from another mother, the other co-host for this episode. And first and foremost, Niebels, it's been a while since you've been on. I think the last time was with Jason Perrone, actually It was draft day, the second series. So
how
you been?
I've been busy. Been good, though. Been good. How about yourself?
Hey, no complaints. Been busy as well. And thrilled to record with you. And for all those that might be wondering, Ken Ingles is just tending to some professional and personal stuff right now, so couldn't make it happen tonight. We're hoping to get him back on for moving forward, more episodes co-hosting with all of us, but didn't want anyone thinking, hey, what's going on? You're switching it up a little bit. And Niebels has been meaning to make the last few episodes, but life has gotten in the way. And that's the beauty of the off season. We have a little bit more flexibility. We've also had a couple week hiatuses throughout this off season. So everyone that's tuning in, thank you so much for your support. Welcome back, or welcome to our latest episode, Minicamp on Tap. And before we dive into Packers rookie minicamp, we had first class on tap last week with myself and Ken talking about the 2021 draft class of your Green Bay Packers, the 9 recent acquired via draft, and then the 8, I believe, in undrafted free agent draft as well. And what was your viewpoint of the overall haul that Brian Gutekunst and company were able to obtain?
You know what? It was one of those things where the first pick was coming. Lots of guys I wanted were on the board. I'm like, yeah, we're going to get somebody finally that I know the name. And then they pick Stokes. I'm like, what in the world? But then, you know, the more I start hearing about him, reading about him, I like the pick a lot. I believe that I had said on the episode with Jason, you know, the pre-draft, that I thought they were going to trade back to the second round and pick a cornerback. So I was kind of right-ish, sort of, you know, first pick being a cornerback. But yeah, I'm pretty excited about him. I'm looking forward to seeing how he comes along and how he kind of develops. I know he hasn't been playing the position too long, but he's already made some comments throughout minicamp that we'll talk about that makes me pretty excited to see him going forward. You know, their second round pick, Josh Myers, the center. Once you had brought up, I can't remember his name now, but you had brought up
Creed Humphrey.
Yes, Humphrey, that's right. You wanted them to pick him up, you know, and I started thinking about how much a center makes sense, just kind of get that line settled in, you know, have someone that could possibly go in and just, you know, is it going to be Jenkins? Is it going to be Patrick? Well, no, maybe it'll be Myers starting in there and you can kind of have the rest of the line kind of settle in where it was. So I was pretty excited about that. And of course, round 3, Amari Rodgers, I couldn't have been more thrilled. You know, one of those guys that, you know, it was like the Packers, you know, his dream scenario was to go to the Packers. Perfect scenario. And then you go on down the list. I mean, you can never go wrong with offensive linemen. I do like, you know, I listened in the episode last week, of course, and I do like what you guys are saying about, you know, the Packers do seem to be putting a whole lot of stock in the offensive line these last couple of drafts. So that's definitely something to look out for. But one guy, I think maybe my favorite pick out of them all, one that I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do, is TJ Slayton, the defensive lineman. just a big dude, super athletic. Like you guys were talking, you know, doing backflips, and I just can't wait. He's just like a whole lot of dude out there, and I can't wait to see what he's gonna do. Give Kenny Clark a little bit of help, and I hope he's more disruptive and can get in there, you know, more than I was a big fan of Monty Adams. Unfortunately, he didn't work out, so I'm hoping he'll come in and pick up that slack.
Yeah, Slayton, I mean, he was my sleeper pick from last week. We had a few categories breaking down the draft class. And the more I think about Tadarrell or TJ Slayton, I think he could be like what Kamal Martin was last year, where there wasn't a lot of talk about him, but he's the player that could stand out the most.
Sure.
And that's saying something. I mean, that's putting a lot of emphasis and stock on Slayton, given the haul that we got, like you mentioned, Rodgers, Myers, as well as Stokes. But Slayton is definitely a guy to keep an eye on, as well as the offensive line grouping. That's going to be the positional group outside of quarterback, which we're going to dive into for this episode. I think those are the two positions that we'll be keying in on the most. I'm glad that you recapped your thoughts. I knew that when we were talking about on draft day, the first part and the second part, right before the NFL draft, you had talked about the Packers trading back and then also selecting a cornerback, which I disagreed with you on both accounts, but you did make me want, just like how you started thinking about the whole Creed Humphrey and the center pick, I started thinking more about the cornerback position because of what you had mentioned. So it gave me, I did mention in First Class on Tap that I didn't like the pick just for the sole fact that it's another first round draft pick on the defensive side of the ball. It's not knocking Stokes. It's just like, how many first round draft picks do you put into this defense? And maybe it's a credit of looking in the past, and just because you swung and missed before doesn't mean that you avoid it. But I felt like I was able to process the pick a little bit more based off of what you said. But with that in mind, we are going to be talking about rookies and the mini camp. But before we dive into that, I know this is a little quick pivot, but we've sort of refrained from talking about Aaron Rodgers on this episode. We took a 2-week break after the draft. We just had some things that popped up, and so we wanted to hold off and make sure that we gave the draft class its due, which we did. If you have not yet, check out First Class on Tap with myself and Ken Ingles from last week's episode. But I've been sort of tossing and turning about Aaron Rodgers because I know, I mean, it's a hot topic. You know that the Packers want Aaron Rodgers back. We don't know what Aaron Rodgers wants. He's yet to make anything publicly. There's a lot of talk out there. There are a lot of articles, say what you will, about the validity of these articles. There's a lot going on, but I wanted to mention this. So we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers. I want your perspective on it, and then we'll definitely have Ken on again to get his perspective as well. But I wanted to mention this. So for those that are tuning in, you probably are aware or unaware that I'm in professional sports. I do a lot of my work now in professional sports right now with sign language interpreting and professional sports with play-by-play sports interpreting. And I am affiliated with the Milwaukee Bucks. I currently work with them, and I do all the player and coach videos, media availability, and interviews. Now, I also co-host and been running this podcast for the last 4 years, a Packers podcast. And I feel now that my work has become a lot more engulfed in professional sports, and on top of it, we do a Packers podcast, I've been very sensitive about trying not to blend those two and also not trying to get, for lack of a better term, my reputation tied up in both of them. And so I'm very mindful of what I say on this podcast. We'll also keep in mind that since I'm affiliated with the Milwaukee Bucks, they have a part owner that is Aaron Rodgers. Not saying that he tunes in to the Unknown Packers podcast, but at the same time, I'm not going to run the risk of spouting off, nor am I going to spout off about this situation. But for those that really want sort of an unhinged sort of belly up to the bar talk about my viewpoint of Aaron Rodgers, there's a lot that I just plead the fifth on based on the fact that I do work in professional sports and I want to work in professional sports moving forward. So I'm really mindful about what I say on the podcast. Moving forward, if I do refrain or if I'm a little bit more mum or if I hold back, that is the reason why. It's not that I don't care. It's not that I don't have an opinion, but I wanted to mention that. I just needed to get that out there for those that are probably wondering, why haven't the Unknown Packers podcast talked about Aaron Rodgers? One, we wanted the dust to settle. Two, we wanted to give this draft class its due because this news story hijacked a lot of people's memorable night, unfortunately. And three, I wanted to share what my role is and how sensitive and mindful I am of doing that. With that said, I'm going to look at it as Aaron Rodgers is a human being. I think we dehumanize NFL players. I think we dehumanize athletes. And I have no idea what this situation feels like. I've never given my blood, sweat, and tears to an organization for 14, 15, 16 plus years. I don't know what he's going through. So that's another thing why I refrain on really giving my point of view, is that I don't know what it feels like for him. Now, with that said, I want him back. I think we have the best shot at winning a Super Bowl with him back. But with that, let's have a little bit of a talk with Aaron Rodgers. Now that I've sort of cleared the air and given my sort of point of view, what is your viewpoint? Because you can have at it. You can give me your full, honest, no holds bar take, and maybe I'll open up a little bit more.
Oh, my take. It's a tough one. I mean, it's a situation where me, like most Packer fans, I do want Rodgers to come back. I do think he is our best chance at winning a Super Bowl again, our best chance at put the best team on the field, basically. You know, on the other hand, I don't know what reports are true. You know, I don't know what he's really saying, what he's not saying. I don't think anybody really does until that's, you know, it's really hard to speculate until someone, you know, until he comes out and says something. But yeah, if a situation where if he is that anti-Goody, he wants him fired, whatnot, he doesn't want to play for the Packers, is that the type of guy that you want coming back into the locker room? You know what I mean? Is that the type of guy? Because
he hasn't said that.
Right. That's what makes it tough, is because, well, I don't know what he has said versus what, you know, what the media is saying and whatnot.
And he hasn't said anything to my knowledge. Unless he's got James Jones and AJ Hawk doing a little bit of the talking.
Yeah, who knows? It's like, I'd be really curious what he is saying to, you know, what he's saying to his buddy. So we've seen in the past, he'll say one thing to media guys, and then he'll say another thing on McAfee, and then he'll say another thing. So it's really kind of hard to judge what he, what his actual feelings are. I mean, I definitely could see that he is upset with the situation. I mean, draft, you know, moving up in round one to pick Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. I mean, is he upset about not getting more offensive help? But I kind of go back to the Brady situation. I know it's a little bit different in that the Patriots did not trade up to pick Jimmy Garoppolo, right. But you know, same age. I think Brady was 37 years old. You know, same as Rodgers. They picked up Garoppolo in the second round. Mm-hmm. Brady wasn't informed. Okay, Belichick didn't say, "Hey, we're going to go and get another quarterback." And you know, Brady's come out and said, "You know, he didn't. I had no idea," but he wasn't surprised. That's how Belichick is. And he went out and he outplayed him over the next 3 years, made it so the Patriots had to keep Brady, and they moved on from Garoppolo. So my thought was, I don't see why Rodgers would be that worried about Jordan Love, and he may not be. It could be a whole, you know, a whole accumulation of other things, but I don't know, see why he wouldn't just go out, you know, keep his mouth shut about it. Not that he's saying anything, but keep his mouth shut about it and just outplay him and make it impossible for the Packers to move on for Jordan Love. Just kind of show him that, hey, you drafted this guy. I'm still good for the next 5 years. I'm going to keep playing at this high MVP like level, and I'm going to make it so you can't get rid of me. Get rid of Love. That, you know what I mean?
And totally. And that is a completely valid point. And I've thought about that. Like, okay, we haven't seen anything from Jordan Love. His rookie season was taken away from us. It was taken away from him as well. Gutekunst and LaFleur have made it known that this is a huge upcoming year for him and his development. But I will say, when it comes to Aaron Rodgers, we've talked about this with Ken in regards to the salary cap. The Packers could have made the easy decision and just converted Aaron Rodgers' contract and move some money around. That's all they needed to do to get under the cap, I believe. Instead, they touched every single other player's contract except his in order to get out of the salary cap. Ken had mentioned that, and I want to say it was in an episode. It could be in the After Dark episodes, but it's nothing too scandalous. Favre and Rodgers are two different beings, obviously. Aaron Rodgers functions on a whole other level when it comes to how cerebral he is, how intelligent he is. Favre was waffling, also has that oh shucks sort of, you know, mentality, that approach.
Right.
Whereas Rodgers is calculated. He's smart. Yeah. He knew what was going on. Now, he goes out and wins the MVP, and he's even said, maybe I threw a wrench in some timelines. And you bring up this talk about why doesn't he go out and play at another MVP caliber year and make it tough for the Packers and just have him outshine Jordan Love. Well, we've seen what happened with Dak Prescott, where in a blink of an eye, you know, his career could be ended.
Yeah.
His play is hijacked. And so, knock on wood, Aaron Rodgers comes out and plays and gets injured, and he's done for the year. What is guaranteeing that the Packers don't move on from him next year? So the more I've thought about this and how I'm trying to be careful about what I say and articulate, given sort of my responsibilities in both two worlds, but he knows, or I'm willing to bet that his contract wasn't touched. They could have done that. Two, it's a lame duck sort of year. Let's see how Jordan Love develops, and then let's see what happens next year. He's got the leverage now where he wins the MVP. It's sort of now or never for him in terms of, hey, I want to make sure that I play my career out in Green Bay. That's all I want is not only do I have 3 years left on my deal, but I want to make sure that these 3 years, you're not going to move on from me within those 3 years. I want to play these 3 years out. Now, the Packer fan in me is, and I understand the business side, but is it really that, like, Why can't we give that to him? Right. Why can't we guarantee the fact? But we also traded up and drafted Jordan Love last year. So there is some thinking, and I don't think that the Packers thought that he had another MVP type of season. Not to what he threw out there. And so that's where I'm kind of pondering is the fact that in a blink of an eye, his career could be over with, and the Packers legitimately can move on from him next year. He knows that. And I think that's where this all, it's not the whole Kummerle. Yeah, maybe these slights have mounted up, and this was the last one. Like, okay, you traded up and you drafted Jordan Love. Personally, maybe he doesn't even care that the fact that he wasn't informed. It's that they've done this whole sort of do-si-do, this tiptoeing around taking care of Jordan Love and also making sure that they leave the door open to move on from Aaron Rodgers. Now, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, and as much as I've given to this organization, I get that it's not personal, it's business, but isn't it different? I don't know. Shouldn't him winning the MVP have given the fact that, okay, this guy deserves it? But I know that Ken's probably, when he listens to this, is like, 3 years is a really long time to commit to a player. But at the same time, you gave him that contract. So there's a lot of things that are spinning around for me.
I mean, do you think, and again, I wish we had Ken here to talk about this. I mean, do you think it's truly a money thing where, like I said, we know what kind of awful shape the Packers are in, you know, are going to be in going into the 2022 season. I mean, how much finagling would they have to do to kind of make a long-term deal make sense under the cap without extending them too many years so that, you know, like you said, he's going to be 38 years old for crying out loud. You want to get, you know, guarantee him 5 more years. And like you're saying, what happens if he gets hurt, you know, hurt next season, doesn't play again. And then you're here, you know, you're guaranteeing him, you know, 4 more years worth of salary. Mm-hmm. Where's that fine line of, all right, you know, we'll give you 2 more years, you know, fully guaranteed, you know, will that do it versus, all right, we're going to go ahead and extend you out 5 years and kind of, you know, risk our future from a financial standpoint. I mean, where's that kind of fine line?
That's I think the great debate.
I'd be scared as heck. You know, the people are saying, hey, let's, you know, he wants to be, or he doesn't want to be, but, you know, they're saying that he should be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He needs a Mahomes-like deal. Well, Mahomes was, what, 10 years, half a billion dollars? Mm-hmm. That would I can't see that in any uncertain circumstances is, you know, him getting that sort of deal. But how many years is too many, and how many years would make him, you know, there's got to be some sort of compromise. You know what I mean? It's like where would Rodgers feel comfortable saying, all right, you know, I feel like this is, you know, this is securing my future. You know, is it guaranteeing him until he's 40 versus, you know, like, so the Packers saying, hey, you're, a soon to be a 38-year-old quarterback. Anything can happen. We don't want to cripple our franchise, you know, for the next 5 years. There's just, where's that middle ground?
Yeah. So personally, I don't think it's about the money. I don't think he wants like a bigger contract extension, more years, more money. Personally, I don't think so. Again, I don't know. And sure. Rodgers hasn't come out and said anything, but I believe that the last straw was the fact that they didn't do anything to his contract to get under the cap. He is the MVP. He has proven time and time again how much he means to this organization. He won the MVP. He was, again, one of the main reasons why the Packers were knocking on the doorstep of a Super Bowl. Granted, the year before, maybe not so much as doing. He still did a lot for the franchise in the 1920 season, but last year he was playing on a whole nother level. Right. I think personally, he wants these 3 years committed, like confirmed. Sure. Like, you cannot move on from me. I want to play out my contract. And that's what he said when he signed the contract is, sure, I want to play out my contract until I'm... But he's also said that he can play into his 40s. So there's a lot going on. I personally don't think that it's, hey, I want more money, because, again, I don't know what's real and what's not, but it does seem like, sure, the Packers tried to. They've made countless attempts to reconcile. The more time that goes on, the more... It's funny. Last week, I was really worried because I was like, wow, this has gone on a lot. This week, I'm like, well, the more it goes on, and he's still a Green Bay Packer. Right, okay, right. Maybe he does show up for OTAs on May 24th. I think, for me, again, I think... They didn't restructure his contract. They didn't have to go through all those sort of the hoops and the pivots and all this stuff to touch all these other players' contracts to get under the cap. They could have just done it for Aaron Rodgers. I think he saw the writing on the wall. It's like, wait a minute, they still want an option to move on from me next year. What more do I need to give to this franchise? What more? And I get it. I get it. It's business. But at the same time, right at the start of this conversation, I talked about the human aspect. And I understand, I want the longevity of the Green Bay Packers. I love the fact that year in and year out, outside of a couple of anomalies, they are contenders. They make the playoffs. They win the NFC North. Granted, people can complain about wanting more Super Bowls, but year in and year out, I know that they're going to be a competitive squad. I appreciate that. I appreciate what Russ Ball and Gutekunst and Mark Murphy have done. I also think, like, wow, like, this guy is given a lot. Can't we just guarantee these 3 years and then have him play at an elite level and see what happens? But that's not how the salary cap works. COVID right. also threw a wrench in some plans. Aaron Rodgers winning the MVP as well. We knew this was huge. When the Packers traded up and drafted Jordan Love, it was huge. And you have this feeling that, okay, this is going to continue to grow. And this is where we're at right now. I guarantee we wouldn't be having this conversation if Jordan Love wasn't selected. So We talked about offensive line. We talked about seeing what Slayton does. Let's see what this quarterback group is going to look like in a couple of weeks with OTAs as well as training camp. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back. We're going to still talk about quarterbacks and rookie minicamp right after this commercial break. Go Pack, go.
This episode is brought to you by Sonic Transformation. Check us out at www.sonictransformation.com. Sonic Transformation, your sound refined.
Go Pack, go! And we are back with the second half of minicamp on tap. We should just really call it Aaron Rodgers on tap because we spent the whole first half. But I do want to wrap up at least this week's episode about Aaron Rodgers. Any last thoughts that you have? Did I leave any stone unturned talking about him?
No, at this point? No, I don't think so. I mean, like, there's so much speculation going on out there. I'm kind of beyond the point of being nervous or worrying about it. You know, it would be terrible if he doesn't come back. I don't see it happening. I just have a feeling he will be back. It'd be terrible if he didn't, but you know, the game will, you know, the game will go on regardless. I mean, that's one thing that, that fans have to remember. I mean, there, I got into a few discussions on Twitter about, hey, you know, if Aaron Rodgers leaves, you know, I'm going to go ahead and follow him wherever he goes. You know, I'm not going to like the Packers anymore. And it's like, well, that's your choice. No, that's what people were saying.
Okay.
No,
like, damn.
Not me. No, yeah. And it's like, again, this is not the, you know, the Green Bay Rodgers. This is the Green Bay Packers. There's like, you know, there's football before Rodgers. There's going to be football after Rodgers. It's going to happen at some point. Again, I'm not saying I want him gone by any means. I'm just saying, hey, I've kind of, all this talk has kind of more or less prepared me for it. I think Goody and LaFleur are kind of building a team for life after Rodgers. It's a very quarterback friendly team. I think, you know, their continued efforts on defense, you know, to make that a stout unit, kind of take some more pressure off the offense. Like I said, I think they're building, you know, towards an Aaron Rodgers-less future. So I mean, if it happens, it happens. It's going to suck. But, you know, I have faith in the front office. One thing I did wanted to mention, I thought was kind of interesting. Earlier today, I was reading an article that they interviewed Ron Wolf about the whole.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I caught. I read it.
Yeah. So it was like he was referring to Watson, to Wilson, and Rodgers, and referred to them all as divas, which I thought was quite interesting. How he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't stand for it. You know, if they were doing this when he was a GM. So I think it'd be kind of interesting to see what, you know, how this whole scenario would be looked at differently if Ron Wolf was still in the front office. I mean, would he just play hardball and say, fine, see ya, you know, or what? I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, I never expected for him to come out and say, you know, these guys are acting like divas. It's
everyone's come out
wild.
Holmgren, yeah. Favre, yeah. Oh, Ron yeah. Wolf. I mean,
yeah.
Well, two different eras of GMs,
for sure.
And
for sure.
Ron Wolf definitely complained about free agency and giving more power to players. I think it's ironic. I mean, I love Ron Wolf. That's why this is so awkward, is that I love the Green Bay Packers. I love Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I love Mike. I loved what Mike Holmgren brought to the team. I definitely had my grieving period when he left as well. That's sports, though. The highs and lows, the peaks and valleys. Ron Wolf, I think it's interesting about free agency is the fact that, like, he acquired Reggie White, and that was huge. Like,
oh, yeah.
When you're talking about expanding and evolving the league, I get his perspective of not having players have more power. But when the product is delivered by the players and they're putting their life on the line week in, week out, and teams just bat of an eye can just move on from a player, that's where I pause a little bit and I look at the human aspect, and I get it. This is a business, life, you know, the team without Rodgers, that's going to happen eventually, hopefully a little bit later rather than sooner. The whole Favre thing, he had been waffling.
Sure.
He had been, will he, won't he, all that sort of thing. So when he did retire and then he came back and then Thompson's like, nope, we're going to have a position battle. I remember being like, whoa, you're talking about Favre battling it out with Rodgers. Wow, Rodgers must be good. This is totally different. You had heard murmurs about, you know, reporters talking about how Aaron Rodgers doesn't know what his future, the future is a beautiful mystery, all this stuff. He had found Nirvana last year. He was playing at a whole another level. He was more in tune in the moment. I loved it. And I love it. And
sure.
There's a part of me that, yes, I'm going to continue to root for the Green Bay Packers. As I'm recording right now, I'm looking at an Aaron Rodgers Wheatie box. I'm looking at a framed Aaron Rodgers photo as he's diving into the end zone of the NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers. I'm looking at a couple of Aaron Rodgers magazines. I mean, I love Aaron Rodgers. That's what I'm holding on to, is I really want to focus on the player. And can we focus on him? I get the whole business side. I get all that. I just, man, this guy has given up a lot. And there have been years where he's really had nothing. He's had a really piss poor defense. He had a coach where they weren't on the same page for a couple of years. They had a defensive coordinator that had a little bit more of an extended stay. You shouldn't be throwing bones to players and getting preferential treatment. Aaron Rodgers is different. It's tough. And sure enough, he goes on, he wins the MVP. And then they came back and they brought the band back together, an all-in year. So it's going to be interesting moving forward. I still haven't. I'm still sort of tossing and turning about what's going to happen. I think the pack, I don't know. I really don't know what will be, but I believe you when Gutekunst and LaFleur are assembling a team and preparing for without Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers comes back, this team is dangerous. I'm also really excited for Jordan Love. I'd like to see what he can do. He is a Green Bay Packers player, and I root for all Green Bay Packers players. With that, you talked about the quarterback position. You had Blake Bortles that was signed on Thursday, May 13th, the former third overall pick in the 2014 draft, reunites with Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator. And he was also in a similar offense to the Los Angeles Rams in 19 and 20. I didn't realize this. He's one of four players to throw for at least 15,000 yards and rush for 1,500 yards in his first five NFL seasons. The only three other players to do that are Jeff Garcia, Cam Newton, and Russell Wilson.
Wow.
Dude's 6'5".
Yes, he's
cannon.
Big.
I like the signing. He seems like a really down-to-earth dude, likes to have fun. I saw a couple videos where he's throwing pranks, and he seems like a very jovial guy. So,
and I think he's somewhat friends with Rodgers as well. I mean, there was a post, I don't remember if it was Instagram or Twitter or whatnot. It was Rodgers, Bortles, and then someone else all at like a 4th of July party.
Last year,
hanging out. I mean, it was within the last couple of years, but
interesting.
But yeah, it just resurfaced recently, so I thought that was kind of interesting. So they're definitely familiar with each other.
Okay. So, I mean, they needed a third quarterback after Tim Boyle walked and signed with the Detroit Lions. I wonder, had the Packers known, I mean, about this whole Aaron Rodgers situation, would they have let Boyle gone? That's another sort of looming question of what if could they take it back?
My personal, you know, take it from the Ken Ingalls handbook thought would be because I mean he made a couple million bucks, didn't he, from Detroit? I don't remember what his contract was. So I mean, definitely, you know, a money saving move. But I guess I don't know. Do you think I don't know if either one of them are starting caliber. I think they're pretty much would be screwed either way for next year if Rodgers doesn't come back. But I think it was more of a money move than anything else.
I just wonder, like, what we know now, would they have done something a little bit? Would they have gone after Bortles and Benkert, who was signed. The transaction was officially confirmed on Monday, May 17th. He beat out Chad Kelly during the rookie minicamp that concluded this past Saturday. A former undrafted free agent out of University of Virginia, I believe. What's your viewpoint of them bringing on two quarterbacks now in a matter of less than a week?
I think it makes sense. I mean, yeah, obviously they had to bring in both the quarterbacks for the rookie minicamp because they couldn't have run the camp without the two quarterbacks. Yeah. So they literally needed to bring both of them in, and you knew one of them was going to probably end up hanging around. with Bortles, I mean, you said the Hackett connection. He had his best year in 2017 under Hackett. I mean, they were one game away from going to the Super Bowl. So he definitely thrives in this kind of offense. I mean, I think Bortles will do well. If Rodgers comes back, he'll do well learning under Rodgers. I would not be surprised if he is a practice squad candidate versus, you know, a third quarterback on the roster. I think they'll go into the season with just three, you know, first string, second string, and then maybe a practice squad guy. I don't think a fourth will be on the roster in any sort of way. But I don't know. It's kind of a bummer. I was reading. It sounded like Amari and Chad Kelly had a connection going in the mini camp, and now Kelly's gone. So, you know, that would have been kind of neat to see, you know, when those players get that connection, you know, see how that develops. But who knows? Maybe he'll be back as another training camp arm down the road. But yeah, the four quarterbacks right now, that makes perfect sense. I know a lot of people are kind of blowing it out of proportion. Oh, you know, they signed Bortles. Rodgers is gone. Well, no, they gave Bortles $1 million to play, which is, you know, pretty much funny money these days for those guys. And he may not make it through training camp. Like I said, he'd be a good practice squad candidate. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, the signing of Bortles is any indication whatsoever of the status of Rodgers.
No, not at all. I didn't take it as that either. I like the signing. It perked my ears up a little bit. I like the common threads, the parallels with Nathaniel Hackett, the Jaguars, Bortles being familiar in a sort of a similar offense with Packers and the Rams, with McVay and LaFleur respectively. I also think that Bortles can maybe influence or teach a trick or two to Jordan Love as sure. well. His experience, maybe be like a player coach sort of thing. And that flexibility of the practice squad, you have that opportunity to put him on the practice squad and keep another player for your 53 when it's all said and done. So
I like that new rule.
Yeah.
I like they implemented yep. that.
And I think that had a lot to do with it as well. Get a veteran presence in there, a little bit more experience, and see what happens. But yeah, I wanted to mention that. This will be something that we'll keep an eye on, this positional group moving forward. We will talk about Aaron Rodgers. We just wanted to hold off on everything that was going on. To be honest, after the Packers had lost the NFC Championship and Rodgers had said what he said and people sort of ran wild with it, I was really disgusted. I was sort of disturbed at the fact that, like, all right, we're manipulating the situation. We're twisting it. And I will swallow my pride on this one. Looking back, he was probably a little open and was suggesting that, yeah, we don't know what's going on moving forward. I thought that they just blew it out of proportion. The Packers had just lost the NFC Championship game. I wanted to process that loss, and here we are talking about Aaron Rodgers and his future that night after the Packers had lost the NFC Championship game. But you fast forward a few months, and I will, you know, like I said, swallow my pride a little bit, and maybe he was suggesting that this was going to be played out the way that we're seeing it right now. I doubt that he sure. wanted it to be played out the way it was, the way that Schefter dropped it, all that stuff. But at first, I didn't know if it was real. It's legit. And you hear LaFleur saying that he wants him back in the worst way, all this stuff. So I'm hoping that within the next couple of weeks, especially next week with OTAs, we should know a little bit more.
And I wouldn't bank on that either, because isn't the NFLPA advising the vets not to go to OTAs?
I think you're right, though.
I thought. And then the NFL came back with, well, if you guys get injured training on your own outside of an NFL facility, you know, you're whatever. You're right. So I wouldn't read too much into OTAs just for that reason alone, if I'm correct.
I love it. So we've got a little bit more time, so we don't have to freak out if he doesn't show up next week.
For sure.
And I mean, this is mini camp on tap. We have yet to talk about mini camp. We've got roughly 5 or 6 minutes before we wrap up this episode. But rookie mini camp was May 14th and May 15th. I'm sure you're following or you have the Packers app. Check out like the 5 things that we learned from rookie mini camp. That was a really nice quick read. Anything that that caught your eye during rookie minicamp?
My favorite part about rookie minicamp is the kind of like the reactions of the players when they get into town, kind of the stadium itself, the history. Not so much the play, that, you know, kind of minicamp, it is what it is, not too exciting, but, you know, like Stokes, for example, how he talked about, you know, he's just kind of switching the G off his helmet.
Yeah,
Georgia had the same
like
G, he's just switching colors. It's just like how amazing and how historic it is to be there. All the history keeps learning on a daily basis. You know, that sort of thing is what I like to read. Who else was it? Amari Rodgers also kind of said, you know, he couldn't believe, he said everything's just kind of flat and spread out. And he's at the hotel and there's not much going on, just a bunch of houses. And he looks out the window and boom, there's Lambeau right there. Big stadium out of, you know, in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of, I just like, you know, seeing these kids, you know, seeing the stadium for the first time. I mean, I remember when I saw it for the first time, and whenever I go up there every year, it's still, you're driving through a neighborhood, then boom, all of a sudden there's Lambeau. There's nothing quite like it. So I can imagine, you know, being these kids being drafted, they're, realizing their dreams, going and seeing this historic venue for the first time, actually getting to put on the pads, the green and gold, and playing. I mean, just the whole emotion, the whole feel of these, rookies getting to do that for the first time is what kind of gets me juiced.
I love it. There are a few things that stood out for me. One, we robbed of this last year. We had no idea what was going to happen. COVID-19 was surging. At this point, the lockdown was still going on. We didn't know if there was going to be a season. We didn't know. And so almost, now you have rookie mini camp. What's that?
So I almost wish Jordan Love got got to participate in rookie mini camp because he wasn't afforded that opportunity last year.
Yeah, like a red shirt sort of option.
Exactly.
I was a little disappointed with that as well. So that's one
Sorry
thing
to
that,
derail
that
you.
What's that?
Sorry to derail you.
No, I love it. That's one thing that popped up in my head was just like, wow, I made a promise to myself that I wasn't going to take anything for granted and I was going to stay in the moment, control what I can control, be more, practice more gratitude, be thankful, appreciate the little things. And that's one thing that I'm really focusing on is that we have rookie mini camp and we're going to have a training camp preseason. And with vaccinations and everything, it's nice to see people laughing, people getting together outside again. So that was one thing that I wanted to mention, that the new normal is happening. And goddamn, I'm excited. Two, I try to refrain from getting uber excited about rookies because Josh Jones, in rookie mini camp, I was just like, crown him. He's the next Collins. But I think it speaks volumes when you have multiple people within the Packers organization, reporters talking about multiple rookies and really showcasing Eric Stokes as well as Amari Rodgers and sort of what they bring to the table. Stokes and his speed, Amari Rodgers, and there is no one like him. I mean, he was already returning punt returns in rookie minicamp. He was already, like you said, building rapport with the quarterbacks and just really showcasing this versatile skill set that he has. One thing I liked about Eric Stokes was that he said that he got out of position a couple times, so he had to rely on his speed.
Yes.
And he wants to focus on his technique. I love the awareness of him saying, I don't want to rely on my speed, but it's sure nice to have in my back pocket. So after reading that,
he knows he's going to get older and lose speed, down the road. So that's why he wants to shore up the technique. I read that too. I was going to mention it. I'm glad you did. But yeah, that definitely stuck out to me as well.
And it makes me like the pick even more. And I want to just clarify again, it wasn't the Eric Stokes picks that bothered me. It was that another first round draft pick dedicated. But with what I'm reading so far about Eric Stokes, I'm getting really excited to think about that secondary, how fast it is with Stokes, Alexander, and Savage, just to name a few. And the other thing that I wanted to point out, Royce Newman with the mullet and the goatee.
Oh, yeah.
He is a Packer player, my friend.
For sure.
So we'll see what he does once he puts on the pads and performs. But I wasn't expecting that when I saw that. I was like, oh, during his little presser, I was like, oh, this guy belongs in Green Bay. So we have time for a fill in the blank real quick before we wrap up mini camp on tap.
Oh, boy.
You ready?
Sure.
Okay. Out of all the draft picks that the Packers selected, blank will jump from rookie minicamp to training camp as the clear favorite rookie.
I'm going to go with, clear favorite rookie. And we're just,
You know how last year Kamal Martin was the guy and then Josh Jones, Jair Alexander a couple years ago. Josh Jones in 2017.
The curse. My gut feeling is telling me that it's going to be Amari Rodgers. I just think he's that missing piece of this Packers offense. He pretty much embodies everything that LaFleur wants to do. Hopefully, he's going to be that guy that, once again, I keep saying it year after year, that gives us that spark to the return game on special teams. He's going to be that gadget player that we've been missing, and he's just a very solid, good dude. I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do. I mean, LaFleur is already singing his praises, saying he's just like a full-grown man. He's just a big ball of muscle. I mean, I can't wait to see what he's going to do. And I think of all the picks, I think he's going to end up being a steal, and he's going to be lights out. He's going to be a contributor from day one.
And the parallels with Randall Cobb, and not even just like the player comps, but literally like Cobb mentoring Amari, as well as Amari's father coaching Randall Cobb at University of Kentucky. I'm with you. I like also just, I don't know, the mindfulness that he, with his number, he realized that number three was retired with Tony Cannadeo. So he picked eight because it's full circle. That's deep. There's some depth to that. And maybe people are like, sort of scoff at that. But that there's some thinking that goes behind that. I just like how his gears, how his mind works. And following all these reporters talking about rookie minicamp, Stokes and Amari Rodgers were the two that really stood out. But we haven't really had like a significant impact rookie on offense since Lacey, I want to say. It'll be really exciting to see if this guy doesn't sort of, it's not a redshirt year. He comes in and he's an immediate impact player from day one, plug and play type of guy. But I'm with you.
Even if it's just special teams, you know what I mean? He's going to make a contribution one way or the other.
For sure. Special teams too. Oh man, we need it. Punt return, kick return. I can't. It's been a long time since we've had someone legitimate back there. But it felt good to get back in the saddle with you and record. And we look forward next week to recording another episode. More than likely, it'll probably be you and I. And appreciate everyone that tunes in, week out. If this was your first episode, we hope you enjoyed it here. Any last words before we bid adieu, Neebles?
No, just hang in there, Packer fans. It's going to be a roller coaster offseason, but I think it's all going to work out in the end. Go, Pack, go.
Let the Unknown Packers podcast be the lozenge that soothes your anxieties. I'm Bryce Christensen.
I'm Neebles.
And this is the Unknown Packers podcast. Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Unknown Packers, as well as Facebook, Instagram, the Unknown Packers podcast. You can check us out on our website, theunknownpackers.com, and a variety of different podcast platforms as well. You can also say, hey, Alexa, play the Unknown Packers podcast. That's right. We're friends with Alexa. Go Pack, go.
This podcast was edited and produced by Sonic Transformation. Sonic Transformation. Your sound refined.